Welcome to Earth Eats, a show of real food and green living. I'm Annie Corrigan.
And I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
But it doesn't just stop with the honey in the hive, because we like to take all of the products from the hive and see what we can make with them.
Tracy Hunter is a third-generation beekeeper. We'll speak with him about pollen and royal jelly and good old-fashioned bee stings. We go into the kitchen and mix beets with honey, and some independent filmmakers want the world to know that bees are in trouble and we should help. But first, here's Mia Partlow with a look at this week's news.
With all the news coming from Europe about contaminated food causing a deadly outbreak of E. coli, we decided to focus on prevention of foodborne illnesses this week. Most of the problems happen before the food gets to the customer. For meat and poultry, for instance, it's during slaughter when it's most likely to become contaminated. For fruits and vegetables, it's while being washed or irrigated with water that's contaminated with animal manure or human sewage. Sure, consumers can't usually control the quality of food that's available for purchase at the store, but they can control how their food is prepared at home. Here are 9 ways you can change your kitchen routine to better prevent serving contaminated food to your family. Don't leave foods that need to be refrigerated sitting out for a long time. When you get home from shopping, put that stuff away immediately.
Before handling raw meats, fruits, or vegetables, always remember to wash your hands for 20 seconds with soap and hot water. Seems like a no-brainer, but it's a good reminder nonetheless.
Buy a meat thermometer. It'll help make sure your food is cooked all the way through, and make sure you wash it nice and good when you're done.
If you have any cuts or infections, use disposable gloves when handling food. Ouch!
Don't pack too much in your refrigerator, as that'll raise the internal temperature.
Before and after cooking raw food, wash all utensils and surfaces.
When defrosting food, don't just plop it on the kitchen counter. Instead, put it in the refrigerator, cover it with cold running water, or nuke it in the microwave.
While you're marinating food, store it in the fridge.
Always remember to keep your cutting boards disinfected by washing them in hot, soapy water after each use. For a little extra sanitation, plastic cutting boards can be disinfected with a mixture of 1 tablespoon of bleach per gallon of water.
Shaking stone.
We want a 10th idea. Write a comment on our website with what you do to try to prevent foodborne illnesses in your home. Join the conversation on our blog, eartheats.org. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter, too, where we post foodie news and notes every day. Just search for Earth Eats. For Earth Eats, I'm Mia Partlow.
A couple weeks ago, we heard from the folks at Harvest Public Media about a new breed of pesticides that experts believe could be wreaking havoc with bee populations. The name of what's going on is colony collapse disorder. It's a syndrome where bees leave their hive, abandoning the queen and all of their young. The thing is, they aren't finding any dead bees near the hive. They just seem to disappear. The United States has been fighting CCD for 5 years now, but according to filmmaker George Langworthy, these apparently toxic chemicals have been around since World War II. He says pesticides are derived from chemical warfare.
And as progress has been made, quote-unquote, they've also made these chemicals increasingly toxic to the point where the pesticides that they're using now are lethal in parts per billion, which would literally mean that if you had one drop in a swimming pool, the entire swimming pool would be lethal.
His film, Vanishing of the Bees, attempts to shed light on these issues.
We like to parallel it to the issue of global warming, which 10 years ago people really hadn't heard about. And when you start to work on a big problem like global warming, it's not like you come to the table and say, hey, everybody, here's the solutions. The first step is raising awareness.
The film follows 2 commercial beekeepers as they lobby the government to protect their honeybees, which are responsible for 1 out of every 3 bites of food on our plates. Langworthy has firsthand experience with the world of bees.
Well, I can tell you, I have beehive myself, and it's one of the most enjoyable things in the world to work with bees. They're just incredibly beautiful and fascinating, and I'm looking outside my window right now, watching them fly around and dance around.
He's a big cook, too, so having his own honeys to work with is pretty cool.
I like to use the lighter honeys. I put it in my smoothie. I have a very dark kind of caramelly honey. I put it in caramelizing onions, just a tablespoon, just to add that extra layer.
And for all the fellow cooks out there, he suggests experimenting with buckwheat honey. You can find out more about the film Vanishing of the Bees on the web at vanishingbees.com. Just like George Langworthy's in California, backyard apiaries are popping up all over the country these days as folks are starting to consider beekeeping a worthwhile hobby. But it's no hobby for Tracy Hunter of Hunter's Honey Farm. The business has been in the family since the early 1900s, and it seems as though his 15-year-old son is hot on taking it over eventually. He collected his first swarm when he was only 10 years old. Sure, they sell honey, but that's just the beginning.
What we like to do is, obviously, we're beekeepers, but it doesn't just stop with the honey in the hive, because we like to take all of the products from the hive and see what we can make with them. So besides the honey, you have the bee pollen, you have the beeswax, and we have the royal jelly and the propolis, and even the bees themselves. We raise queens and sell those. So you take each of those raw products, and then you can build upon that. And we like to make things like our honey sauces, honey mustard, honey barbecue, honey teriyaki, honey vinaigrette. She makes a honey caramel corn and a honey puff that is just out of this world. People actually come to us and will pay us to sting them, because bee venom has been known to help things such as arthritis and bursitis.
Wait a minute.
And we're only touching the tip of the iceberg. And you know that honey is the only food that doesn't spoil, right?
I didn't know that.
Okay. The only food on this earth that will not spoil is honey, because of the antibacterial properties. And you can take a jar of honey and buy it now, and when you're 100 years old, you could open that up, or at your funeral, people could eat it anytime. And then the bee pollen. Pollen is the most nutritious food on this earth. It contains 96 nutrients. It's a more complete protein than red meat is. It's just amazing. Your body can live off of bee pollen and water. It has every nutrient that your body needs.
And then to get the different flavors of honey, you collect it the nectar was collected at different times of the year. So
correct.
If you're getting a spring honey, let's say a tulip poplar honey, that is just...
earlier than that. You get dandelion honey. There's apple blossom honey. Right before the tulip poplar trees bloom are the black locusts.
Okay, right.
And
yeah.
There are over 300 different varieties of honey in the United States. And as a rule of thumb, the darker honeys are the stronger honeys.
Black locust honey. That's what the guys at Brothers Drake Meadery use in many of their meads. I spoke with them a couple weeks ago. You can take a listen to that conversation at eartheats.org. To the kitchen now. We use honey in so many recipes here at Earth Eats, it was really difficult to choose just one for today. But I'm being selfish, and I'm picking my favorite recipe. It's honey paired with beets and orange for a tasty vinaigrette dressing.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't like beets because they say they taste like dirt. And they do have a very earthy flavor. It's just important that you do clean them off really well. We're going to rinse them under cold water. We're going to trim off the tops. Now, the tops are just as good as the roots, so don't throw those away. A lot of people tend to just discard the tops of the beets, but they're great sautéed. Heat up your pan, add a little bit of garlic to it, let it start to turn nutty and brown. Quickly add your greens, a little bit of water, and that will help them steam. And within a minute or two, you have a really nice beet greens dish. Now, I'd say we've got a half cup of beets. We're going to add the juice of one orange, a little bit of orange zest as well. Okay, we're going to add some olive oil, 2 cloves of garlic, and just a little bit of water, about a quarter cup of water. And for our acid, we're going to use a little vinegar. I'm going to use some of my homemade wild garlic vinegar, but you could use some cider vinegar would be fine, or just white vinegar. I'm going to just put the blender on.
You're a very daring man to wear a white shirt while working with beets.
Now you see, it has a nice thick viscosity to it. Tell me what you think.
Love it.
Yeah, and this is also great with goat cheese. So you could do a salad with goat cheese and then put a little bit of this sprinkled on top, drizzled on top, and have a wonderful dressing. You can use it for all kinds of things.
From a dipping sauce for tempura squash to a ketchup substitute on a veggie burger. Get more ideas like these on our website, where you can also print recipes, listen to interviews, and add your foodie photos to our Flickr page. It's all available to you at eartheats.org.
Support for Earth Eats comes from Blooming Foods Market and Deli. Information at bloomingfoods.coop.
Production support also comes from goodsforcooks.com, online at goodsforcooks.com.
Earth Eats is a production of WFIU Public Media.
Thanks for listening. I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
And I'm Annie Corrigan. See you next time.